First off, I didn't get an opportunity to do this last week. The board, you know, when I was at home in the hospital and at home recovering, the church continued to pay me. They didn't have to do that. So I'm very, very thankful for that. The board decided to continue to do that. And I was, my mom was going, how are you paying your bills and stuff? And they continued to pay me. So that's a, that is definitely a blessing. And also, thanks for the seed that you sowed. The offering that was taken up and stuff to help meet our deductible. I had the money for it and stuff, but, that's a blessing to us. So I didn't get to say that last week. So thank you for that. I mean, you truly are a giving church. So, I appreciate everything that y'all done today. I was going through my backpack and I saw this book here. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. And I remember I got this at the Southwest Believers Convention, but I left it in that backpack and I didn't open it up until last week. So that was all the way back in August and stuff. So I was like, man, I forgot. I opened it up. I was like, what is this? It's got, well, Brother Copeland notes, Creflo Dollar, Jerry Savelle. Yeah, just a few notes and stuff. So glad to have that back. Today we got a baby dedication service to do. So we're going to get started with that. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, and Lord, and I just believe the words that you have given me to say will come out with clarity, Lord, and with power, Lord. And we just thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I get the privilege of, my son asked me a couple weeks ago if I would do a baby dedication, and I was like, okay, I've never done one of those before. But I get to do my grandson's. That'll be my first, so that's awesome. That's a blessing. Baby dedication is a biblical event that takes place in a newborn's life. Parents and loved ones are involved in this young person's life for as long as they live. They help to watch him, raise him, discipline him, and speak into his life so that he does not veer off course. See, when we dedicate our children to God, he provides, through his word, protection, guidance, and anointing. And see, Jesus was dedicated in the temple. In Luke 2:22-25, it says this, now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. In Proverbs 22:6, it says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now notice it says to train up a child in the way they should go, not train up a child in the way you want them to go. The way they should go is in the direction of what the Word of God says. Bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. A child's salvation is not guaranteed through dedication, because we know children, when they grow up to be teens and adults, can stray away from God's protection by their own free will. But we believe God's word and action will not return to him void. So it's imperative that the parents stay connected to God in their own personal relationships, so that they can train up their child in righteousness and godliness. In today's culture, we have so many avenues of information that our children can get a hold of and begin to go astray. Parents, this is your responsibility to make sure the information they receive is godly, holy, and true. You can't take your child where you haven't gone yourself. So before you teach and train your child, make sure you put to practice what you're getting ready to teach. Amen. So will you guys come on up here? Bring little Roro. Now, as we say this pledge, just I've already instructed what you should do. In the presence of God and this congregation, do you understand that the vows you are about to speak are binding before your Heavenly Father? Yes. Do you promise to teach your child about Jesus in his early life and lead him to the Lord? Do you promise to raise up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and see to it that he has godly friends and they know and that they have personal relationships with Jesus? Will you instruct him in the way of holiness and live a life that may be a good example for him? Through these prayers and proclamations, we mark your child with the seal of the Holy Ghost. This is for spiritual precedence. In Hebrews 11:28, it says this, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Concerning his little ones in Matthew 18:4-7, it says, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of offense, for offense must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes, because he's going to have to mess with grandpas. Each child has an angel of protection. Matthew 18:10, it says, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For spiritual offspring of Abraham and heirs to his blessing, in Galatians 3:29, says, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We and our children are God's anointed and are not to be touched. 1 Chronicles 16:15-22 says, remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made, which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying to you, I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance when you were few in number, indeed very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, and from one kingdom to another people. He permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes. Do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophet no harm. Children are seeds of righteousness who are in the care of the Almighty in the living home of kings and priests of the Most High God. So we set a bounty on the head of any person or spirit who touches God's little ones. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I dedicate Roman James Nunnery to the God and to do his will. Father God, we thank you for this beautiful life that you have blessed us with. We speak blessings over him, because he belongs to you. Protect him from all hurt, harm, and danger. And let the plans that you have for him, a future and a hope, come to full measure in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here's your certificate. I would read that, but I am out of breath. Thank you. You guys are awesome. Whew. And we're done for the day. Thank you, Jesus. I've been instructed by several people, Pastor West. It's like, look, you don't have to hurry about this. If you want, you can bring your oxygen tank up. I don't want to do that. That looks tacky. People said, hey, if you have 10 minutes, If you go 10 minutes, that'll be fine. If you go 15, what have you, that'll be good. I think they just wanted to get out early. But the title of my message, I was getting ready to go off of how much more. I wanted to finish that up. I'm going to read this from Matthew 7, 7 through 11. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? And as I began preparing this message, the title of it just became Ask. I may preach on how much more later on. Ask. The Greek word for that is ahiteo. It means to beg, to crave, to desire, to call for. And it's mentioned 71 times in the New Testament. Ask. So apparently God wants us to ask. The New Oxford American Dictionary says, it says to say something in order to obtain an answer or some information. Ask. It's not that hard to ask. Notice it does not say suggest. I think sometimes we can get caught up and say, man, it would be nice if this would happen here. It would be nice if God would do that for this person. It would be great if that happened, this happened. And you know what? And when it doesn't happen, we get upset. And then sometimes people even blame God because we made suggestions. He says to ask. As simple as that. You have that relationship with them. We ask. It's like they don't want to ask God for anything because they don't want to be called, you know, Jimmy, Jimmy, gimme, gimme. You're asking God for this. You're asking God for that. It says to ask. But when we ask according to his word. God is not a genie and we shouldn't be asking him for anything. Well, we have to confess it and ask him into our heart. He needs permission from us because he's not going to violate your free will. So we have to give him that permission. The word appears 71 times. So apparently God wants you to ask. In John 4, 1 through 10, it says this. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, that's the same word, and he would have given you living water. All God wants you to do is ask. As a little kid, growing up, you know, my dad was a preacher. He framed houses for a living all through Southern California, and he had his own barbecue restaurant and catering truck company and stuff. So, and he was a stern disciplinarian. He used to be he used to carry a gun all the time. He's a gang leader. He wasn't anybody to mess with, put it that way. But going in, the way I would ask, we all had our own methods. You know, parents know their kids and how they want something. Mine was being shy and a little timid growing up. I would stand right by the door and wouldn't say nothing. And he'd be like, what do you want? And then I ask him. I don't know why I would always be afraid to ask him. Sometimes it would be last minute stuff. And of course, oh, can I go to so-and-so's friend's house? My friend's house? No, we never got to stay the night at our friend's house, ever. Even in high school, never. It's probably a good thing. It's probably a good thing. But I would just freeze up. And see, and there are times that we may lack the confidence that we need in order to ask God what we need. Sin does that a lot in our lives. Sin will make us a coward and not be able to go boldly to the throne of grace. But for the Lord, so we need that confidence. In Proverbs 3:26, it says this, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. 2 Corinthians 7:16 says, therefore I rejoice that I have confidence in you in everything. In Psalms 118:8, it says this, it is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. And I like how the Passion Translation says, Lord, it is so much better to trust in you to save me than to put my confidence in someone else. And I like that song, the last one that we did, Defender. Hallelujah, you have saved me. So much better this way. We can't save ourselves. We need a Savior. You may not know, but it is God's will for you to have freely what He has given you. That's your inheritance. And the only way you're going to get that is by doing the next thing in the scripture, which we'll talk about in a couple of weeks, is seek. I don't know about you, but playing hide and seek, anybody ever play hide and seek growing up? You probably got to be living under a rock if you've never played it. But when we're talking about seeking, it's continuous. You don't ever stop. But when people were playing hide and seek, you get the lazy ones that would count and be like, 1, 2, 3, 4, looking. I said, you've done that too, right? And then you get the ones that are just kind of like, you know, that everything in it, all in the head. They will hide right behind home base. Dude, I hear you laughing, you know, hear you breathing. You're not fooling anyone. Go hide. We'll seek. And so you like being able to be sought out. And some of the lazy ones will go and try to hide themselves. Wait, you're the one that's supposed to go out and seek. They'll try to hide to see who's going to come out and touch on place so they can get. I said, they don't want to do any searching. They don't want to do any seeking. And sometimes we can get lazy and not seek God. We don't want to get in that quiet place and spend that time. And Brandon had alluded to several weeks ago, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning. That's some good time to spend with the Lord. I've been waking up at 3, going to bed at 9:30, 10, getting up at 3 while I was recovering during that time in the fall last year. That's a great time to seek Him. So I was beating a lot of people to the punch. Are you praying for me? I'm already praying. But whenever you ask, you must ask in faith. Matthew 21:22 says, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. And Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So your asking needs to be done in faith according to the word. And Mark 11:25 says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Well, it doesn't say her. There's a loophole. Forgive them. I'm telling you, it ain't worth holding on to. Because all you do is just give the enemy a foothold into your life. And you talk about being powerless. It won't work. It will not work. I used to watch a movie. I think a lot of black people can relate to this. They'd never seen it. My son's probably seen it, but there was a show called The Last Dragon. Bruce Leroy. Y'all watch that? Shona. There was this guy going around acting like he was just the master. And he would go around saying, "Who is the master?" And his crew would say, "Shona, who is the baddest? Shona, who is the meanest, toughest, most?" And they would say, "Shona, yeah." But see, Shona knew who he was. And there was a time when you knew that you were the master at a certain time, you know, when you're in battle, that glow would just, they would show them, it's 80s movie. This is a red glow that comes over you. And Leroy, everybody knew that he was the master, but he didn't know it. He didn't know who he really was. And he was in search of the master. Until all of the other clues just started lining up and just be like, okay. And then Shona was just whooping up on him. Just whooping up on him. And then they start having flashbacks of everyone saying, you're the master. Well, you sure look like a master to me. And all this other stuff. And then guess what? And then he asks him one more time. He says, "Who is the master?" And then he says, "I am." And then he ended up getting that glow. He was like, "What?" And then Leroy turned around and just whooped his tail. Sometimes you need to look at yourself in the mirror and realize, hey, I'm a child of God. I am anointed. And his word says to do his prophet no harm. The enemy can't touch you unless you give him permission. And living in unforgiveness gives him permission. So what's holding on to? What offense is worth holding on to just so that you can be right? Better let that thing go. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness is the key to unlocking the power of God in your life. Unrepentant sin keeps God's power from working in your life. It's impossible to move mountains regardless of how much faith you may think you have. You can't move it. Jesus gave them the formula. How did you do this? They asked him. How did this tree dry up? And he tells them, have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe in the things in which he says, he will have so wherever he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So we got to have faith in God. We got to have faith in his word. We got to be saying it, confessing and believing it. But we also got to be living in unforgiveness, living in forgiveness, not living in unforgiveness. No, we don't want to go there. Ask and it will be given. God, believe it or not, God has rarely ever told me no. I'm content. So I don't ask for things. Never ask for a truck. Never ask for a car. Matter of fact, I kind of like it now because he's getting newer cars, but Pastor Wes has given me every single car that I've had. I like that Lincoln Aviator. That's pretty cool. No, he ain't giving me that one. Well, that's not my confession. No, sorry. No, I'm just playing. But really, no, sorry. I think the only time that the Lord has really told me no, but I kind of got the hint, was back in 2000. I was getting ready to, I was working at the Daily Inn. I was getting ready to, trying to save up money to go to Phoenix because I wanted to try out at this NBA camp. And if you do well at one camp, you'll get invited to another and so forth. And Chicago is like the main one. So you got to get from Phoenix to Chicago. playing church softball. 1 week before the camp, I'm running to first base and pull a hamstring. Yeah, I love baseball. Softball, yeah. So, I ended up taking a full-time position there and ended up working. So next year, Denver has open tryouts. I just wanted to know if I ain't good enough. Cool. I'm good. I'm good with that. I can live with that. Just want to know. 2 weeks before the tryout, we're praying church softball league. Running to first base. Pull my hamstring again. That's all right. I'm done. I get the picture. But God has really never ever said no to me. Because I ask according to his word. I never asked to be in this position. I was running away from it. That's why I came to Kansas. Surely God can't find me here. My wife and I started cleaning the church, cleaning toilets. I didn't ask to do that. I never asked to be the youth leader. I never asked to be the worship leader. I never asked to mow the lawns out there. I never put myself up for transition. Matter of fact, Pastor West had said, what are you doing? What do you see yourself doing in 5 years? This is 2016. And I said, honestly, just still serving you. He goes, well, pray about it. I said, all right. I tried to get myself out of coaching jobs. I was a head coach at the middle school for 3 years. Quit that because I wanted to watch my kids. I just like sitting in the stands filming. 2 weeks later, I get a call. Hey, you want to join our staff at the high school? I never asked. But the Lord doesn't tell me no because I ask according. If I do ask, I ask according to his word. And all of his promises are what? For those who are in Christ. I didn't ask God to heal me. I knew he would. Because I knew that was a part of my inheritance. I asked people to pray for me. And thank God they didn't say no. But he says, ask and it will be given to you. Ask. You have to ask. Don't suggest. Ask. Ephesians 3:20 says, as now to him who was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God is able to do extraordinary things through us. Unlock deaf ears. Open up the blind eyes. Raise the dead. God can do that through me? Yep. God can do that through you? Yep. Don't you doubt it. There's so much more. And you haven't really even been tapping into it yet. But there's so much more that he can do. So don't you dare back off. Ask. And it will be given. You can ask for wisdom. He'll give it to you. You ask for understanding. You'll get it. Ask. Don't suggest. Don't gripe. Don't complain. Ask. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father God, we just thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all you've done. And Lord, I just love that our relationship, we can ask you and you will give it to us according to your word. And it's done by faith, Lord. We thank you for that, Jesus. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And amen. If there's anyone here who's struggling with something like any ailments in their body and you need prayed for, just raise your hand. We'll pray for you right there. Or somebody, you Joe, what's wrong with you, Joe? Lung issues. Were you dealing with COVID and stuff too? Just lung? Been smoking too much? No, I'm sorry. Come on up here. Well, hold on. Jesus sent his word and he healed. Be healed. Lungs be healed in the name of Jesus. We speak healing over that. Now you will operate the right way, according to his word. From the top of your head to the sole of your feet, be healed in Jesus' name. Now I want you to take a deep breath. Do it again. Do it 7 times. Receive it. Now, was that hard to do before? Is it burning now? Now, why couldn't I do that in ICU? That's fine. I share it with people on Wednesday nights that I listened to a testimony of Samuel Rodriguez at Bill Winston's church. And he had talked about how he was praying to God and having this, just going back and forth, but he was commanding healing in his daughters because she had gotten COVID and the doctors ended up, she miraculously was healed and she ended up walking out of there. And it's like, Sam, you can come get your daughter. It's like, why? Is something wrong with her? I said, no, she's healthy and we need the bed. And I was in a PCU and I was like, come on. But I'm here. I ain't going nowhere. Amen. Um, 2018. There's a prophetic word that was spoken over me. We go to Camp Awakening, Isaiah and Ethan were workers there. And on the last night, they have all the leaders, the youth directors and the youth pastors and stuff just line up. And it's just a whole, if you can picture a basketball court, the border, the out of bounds, lined up. And then Ben DeLay would go around the camp and his wife would go around prophesying to everyone. Like, I don't understand. That's awesome. But he got to me and he said this. He says, tent poles. I'm thinking tent poles. He says, tent poles, just like tent poles support the tent, so will the church support you when the transition happens. I said, that came to fruition. So there may be things that you might be seeing on your timeline when you're on social media and all that other stuff. And maybe this is my sign. I said, listen, if God ain't say no, that ain't your sign. He's got to speak to you. And that sign would probably be confirmation. But he'll speak to you first. Amen? Father God, we thank you for the lives here. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your anointing and your power, Lord. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And we thank you for healing in our bodies in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'll let you out at 11:30. Now you can get first in line. We don't have buffets here too much so like that, but Furs cafeteria and stuff. Sirloin stockades. And that's what. Those were good. I'm sorry. Those were good. Y'all be blessed. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.